you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Welcome in to another edition of the Under Center Podcast, brought to you by St. Xavier University. It's a training camp daily, and we are down here in Bourbonnais. I'm JJ Stankovic, joined by John Moon Mullen. The final open practice of training camp, Moon, just wrapped up down here, and what do you think? That's the biggest crowd you've ever seen for a training camp practice there? I mean, we don't have the official figure right now, but I would bet there were 9,000 people at least here today.
I mean, they've been in the tens. I think the biggest, what most people would generally agree, was Jay Cutler's first practice. Mm-hmm. Went, oh my God, they got a Pro Bowl quarterback. But they were still coming in. Again, an 8:15 practice that ends at roughly 10:30, 10:45, they were still coming in at 9:30. I mean, cars along the road. Yeah, it's, and Saturday's going to be the biggest day.
Right. Last practice, but... The, you know, the line coming in, I think anyone who came down here to training camp but didn't show up an hour before had to sit in traffic. I mean, it was like the Field of Dreams scene with all the cars lining up.
Think if they had won a preseason game. Oh, my God.
Oh, man. You know, well, I don't know. What was the final score of the game Thursday, Moon? I already forgot.
23-13.
But, I mean, no, this has been a really incredible trend that we've seen down here, just the fan support of the Bears, how much people are excited about this season. There's so much fan goodwill built up. But, you know, to go back to something Matt Nagy said early on in camp after seeing these big crowds, like, we haven't won anything yet. We haven't accomplished anything. Yeah, we made the playoffs. We lost the playoff game. We haven't won a playoff game. So there still is this sense around here that for all this goodwill, the Bears still have to do something on it. They, you know, this, they can't be like 2014 again, where there's a ton of goodwill, a ton of excitement, and have everything fall flat on its face.
Yeah, and I, looking back over the years, and I think poor Chicago, not poor Chicago, we've seen it. The fans have been, we've been lied to, or the fan base, not we, they, everybody's been lied to, going all the way back to, you know, the 83 White Sox. They win the West by 20 and then wet the bed in the playoffs. The 84 team, they're up 2-0 in the play of the Cubs, and they go out. I think even
that's why we don't do the wave in Chicago.
Exactly. But I think, and then we've seen with the Bears, how many times in, start last year, 0-1 when they won the division.
They don't follow things
they
up.
Don't follow
very often.
Right. And
0-5-0-6 being the exception.
Yeah, and times that they've had home games in the playoffs and lost that first game, you know. But to your point, though, JJ, I think it's an amazing testimony to the fans, to the fans. They're almost, it's the fan loyalty is like the grass. It just keeps coming up. It gets burned out one year, or it gets deluged another year. Next year, it's kind of back. And I think fans should be commended, not questioned about their loyalty.
Absolutely.
The interest to it. I think they enjoy football. It doesn't have to, I mean, obviously if it's winning, great, but it's it is perennial. I guess that's the best way to describe it.
So Moon, my first year on the Bears beat was 2017, and I had almost forgot how big the Bears are in this town, because in 2017 that team was irrelevant. No one was really excited about them. No one was interested in them. My friends would always ask, how's Mitch looking? But it was never really like, you know, oh man, you know, like, they're going to be good, right? No, it's like, all right, the Bears stink. Like, but you see down here just how it's a reminder of just how big the Bears are in this town. They are the biggest show in town, and when they are good, you get training camp crowds like we've seen down here. You get 45,000 people showing up to a preseason game. Yeah. I mean, when I told Prince Amukamara that in the locker room after Thursday's game, his eyes just kind of bugged out. He's like, "Oh my God!" Like, seriously, like 45,000 for a preseason game—that's a huge crowd. Yeah. And you just see the rebirth of the fan base that, obviously, Moon, you've seen quite a bit. I experienced it growing up here. It's really exciting to see. But, again, the Bears still have to do something about it.
And I think it's a real – there's an underlying positive – or positivity. You know, I was from the East Coast around Philadelphia, where the Eagle Stadium, they had set up a court – a judge,
yeah, justice of peace,
a jail underneath the court, or Boston. You know, here the fans want to like the team. They want to like the Bears, and I think, you know, if you're effort and somewhat successful, you'll never buy a drink in Chicago if you're a Chicago Bear. So I think it's, again, a testimonial to the fans and what football. It's not the city of big shoulders. It's city of big shoulder pads.
There you go. I like that. Hey, that's good. Real quick before we look at practice, the jersey of the day, the final training camp jersey of the day, Moon. I said at the start of this, I don't know if I said it on air, but I made a note to myself that if I saw anyone wearing a Bernard Berrien jersey, they were going to win the day. And today, on the final day of training camp, I saw a guy wearing a Bernard Berrien jersey. That holds a special place in my heart because I grew up in Chicago. I grew up in Oak Park. Bernard Berrien was the last player jersey I ever bought of a Bears player. I was in high school. I wanted to be different than everyone who had an Urlacher or a Hester or a Briggs or anything like that. So I went out and I bought a Bernard Berrien jersey. I promptly got rid of it after he left for the Minnesota Vikings in, what was that, 2008?
Yeah. Well,
was short-lived.
I wonder how many Khalil Mack. I've never seen. There's a little boy about, I'd say he's five. He's wearing a helmet. He's about 3 inches tall, and he's got a Khalil Mack jersey.
Yeah. So many Khalil Macks, so many Mitch Trubisky's. Yeah. I'm going to do a little rundown of all the jersey of the days that we've had on the podcast tomorrow, and I want to throw it out to a poll to see who you think won the jersey of the day. Also, shout out to the guy or the person wearing a John Bostic jersey, number 57. I saw an Olin Krutz number 57 jersey at camp today, and then later on I saw another 57. That one was John Bostic.
Yeah, I mean, how did you find that?
That's
oh boy. That's loyalty, I guess.
That is loyalty, and that is also keep bringing these jerseys out because, man, they are fun to see. Anyways, practice notes, Moon. Anthony Miller left with an injury. Looked like it maybe was a foot or a leg. That was in one-on-ones. He tweeted that he's good with a thumbs-up emoji. Mm-hmm. He later deleted that tweet. I don't know if that maybe broke a rule or something that you can't tweet during practice. But Anthony Miller... After practice, Matt Nagy said he did not have an update on him, so we'll be keeping an eye on that going forward to see if he is okay.
The one that was a little scary, and I think it sounds okay, is David Montgomery.
Yeah, he returned to practice. It looked like he was a little gimpy.
A little gimp.
But came back. That was after a play downfield. He came back in practice, looked really good still. I thought it was funny. Matt Nagy was asked about Montgomery after practice, and Moon, you were in on Matt Nagy after Thursday's game, where he started, saying like Montgomery's got rare DNA, and saying all these great things, and then he kind of like pumped the brakes, looked at Jarrett Payton, and was like, in this long history, this franchise has such a great history of running backs, and he kind of started to pull back. So today, Nagy pulled back a little even further. I think he doesn't want to start feeding into the David Montgomery hype train. He said, he was asked about the touchdown run, the 7-yard touchdown run that Montgomery had, and Nagy was like, yeah, it was just average.
It was an average run.
Run, yeah,
He kind of laughed about it.
Yeah, so, yeah. Which, it was impressive because everyone, watched it was like, man, Jordan Howard couldn't have done that. Howard would have plowed into the pile, got 2 yards, probably, not got into the end zone. Montgomery, there's nothing there. He bounces outside, breaks a tackle, stays on his feet. It was an impressive touchdown run, but it's also something that I think the Bears just expect out of David Montgomery.
They should.
They should.
Yeah, the concern would have been if he couldn't make that move.
Right,
Again, he's doing it against twos or sprinkling the ones, but he has shown what they want in a running back. And the play where he kind of got nicked up a little bit was he made a diving try. Mm-hmm. That was about 40 yards downfield.
Yeah.
Trubisky just launched something.
Yep.
And he went up with the DB and came down with it. So clearly he has some range on the field more than just as a running back, or more than just running with the ball.
Right. Other practice note I had, Riley Ridley had a rough start to practice. He had a couple drops early on, came back, made a really nice catch, just kind of snatching a ball away from Michael Joseph in the end zone.
In the end zone, yep.
That was good to see. With rookies, there are always going to be mistakes. Coaches always say, how do they respond to them? So for Riley Ridley responding in that way during practice, that was good to see.
And you have to love that he already had a touchdown dance and worked out.
Yes.
Yeah,
there is. He will fit in that room where there are a lot of very good touchdown dances.
Yeah, maybe he's been saving it up. So
But
good to see him. Again, like Nagy even said, nothing distinguished, but he's out there. And you're going to be a little tentative coming off a hamstring.
Right,
so
right.
That should be expected.
Yeah, everyone is being targeted to be healthy for week one. So Trey Burton was back out there today. He only did individual drills. Nagy tried to kind of get out in front of it when he talked to us after practice, saying, like, look, we're going to be smart about it. He, you know, if essentially saying, like, we're going to, you know, push him but not too far, and we're just going to manage it with an eye on September 1st. So it's a sort of like a preemptive, if Burton doesn't practice tomorrow or the next day or whatever it is, don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. He's probably fine.
Yeah, and I think you're talking to, I think, Ian Bunting as
yeah.
well. Yeah. And overall, with some of these guys like Burton being hurt, there have been some guys who have flashed.
Mm-hmm.
And you really need that because,
yes.
you know, somebody's going to go down during the season. We talked about injuries. That most of the time, there's not a lot of spirited position battles with the starters. But somebody during the year is going to have to step in for Trey Burton. Maybe it's
mm-hmm.
Ian Bunting. Maybe it's
right.
Ben Broniker, whatever.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Or in the secondary or something like that. So, and receivers, as you said, Anthony Miller getting hurt. Well, all of a sudden, Riley Ridley could matter.
Yeah.
And so it
Javon
is important.
Wins, yeah.
We don't want to overplay the guys way down the depth chart, but somebody will matter this year, and I think it's important to note those guys right now.
Yeah, I'm going to write about Ian Bunting on NBC Sports Chicago here on Saturday, just about his game and what he, you know, what it meant to him. He's a Hinsdale Central guy. You know, to be able to play for the Chicago Bears in a preseason game, incredible experience for him. Thought it was interesting. Yeah. Matt Nagy was asked in his press conference about the play where it looked like Bunting got beat by Brian Burns. Burns dropped Chase Daniel for a sack, and Nagy said that play was actually Daniel's fault.
Yeah.
It was not Bunting's fault. And it was funny because before Nagy talked, I asked Ian Bunting about it, and he was like, no, I just got to block that guy. I got to protect my quarterback. So even though probably in the back of his head, he knows that wasn't actually my fault. He still is like, nope, my fault. Got to protect the quarterback. That is... It's not like it's uncommon on football teams,
right.
but still for an undrafted rookie, you know, to sort of entertain the question, even though he knew I was wrong.
Yeah.
To do that, hey, that shows you a little
and
bit.
And he's clearly, it was interesting to Nagy's reaction. Bunting had really become somebody to watch because, as somebody around the league said, there's somebody in that building that likes him.
Yeah.
And Nagy talked about he's got big hands, he's a natural catcher,
mm-hmm.
a phrase to keep in mind. To a quarterback, which Nagy was,
yep.
that matters.
Mm-hmm.
But it was interesting, you know, Nagy came over after to Hub and I, because
Hub was the one who asked the question. Yeah, and I thought it was a fair question that Hub asked. Yeah.
He looked like he whiffed, and he did blame it on, not blame it per se on Daniels, but Daniels stopped instead of continuing a rollout. But the guy was right in front of Bunting,
yeah.
and even Bunting, you gotta at least
get a hand on him.
Well, and you also respect the guy who said, "Yeah, I should have blocked him."
Right.
So let's cut the nonsense. But
yeah.
in the future, you know, obviously, it was a backup quarterback, whatever. But I think that's those are blocks that he's going to have to make if he's going to have a future, which it looks like he does right
yeah.
now.
Yeah. One other practice note, then, and this goes back to the jersey of the day because I forgot to mention this. I saw a guy wearing a Mark Sanchez jersey.
Jeez.
Sanchez 6. It was autographed by Mark Sanchez. Shout out to. Zach Pearson of Bear Report, he was the first one to show me the photo. I then saw him as we were riding out of practice here. Man, I didn't give it to him because it looked like maybe it was a Cutler jersey that got converted to a Sanchez, but I got to give a mention for a Mark Sanchez jersey because to have a jersey of someone who literally did not even dress for a game with the Bears during the regular season despite being on the team for all 16 games, that's pretty impressive.
And it was signed. Yeah, maybe if you can find an unsigned one, it would be worth a fortune.
That would be worth a fortune. Last note, we did not see either Eddie Pinheiro nor Elliott Fry kick.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Moon, on tomorrow's podcast, I want to get into what we learned about the Bears during training camp. But just to kind of close this pod, I think I can already say my expectation that the Bears' week one kicker is not on the roster right now has not changed from the start of training camp to the end of training camp.
No, you said that, and I think you're spot on. I think it's so undistinguished. And, you know, there's only 32 of these guys needed. Somebody has to step up or stand out, and they
mm-hmm.
haven't. And, again, sometimes you just got to go with the best available. But I think we saw a better one in the Carolina backup.
Joey Sly,
There's two or three backups around the league that are catching notice, and yeah, I totally think you were spot on with that going into camp. I would be stunned if it's one of these two guys.
So the one that everyone's already talking about, Corey Vedvik, I believe that's the pronunciation. Shout out to @Berlissimo1 on Twitter. He sent me a pronunciation guide on YouTube of how to pronounce the certain Scandinavian I don't even know. It's not an umlaut. I don't even know what it is that's over one of the A's in Vedvik's name. Apparently, it's Corey Vedvik. But the point that I really want to make is that Manish Mehta covers the Jets out in New York, sent a tweet that the Jets are working out kickers. They thought about potentially trying to trade for Vedvik from the Ravens. But the expectation inside the Jets building is that the Bears will trade for Vedvik.
Yeah, and it's interesting to think about, are they going to try to hold somebody? Gee, we have to trade a draft choice. I don't think that's a big deal. If they had spent a 6 or 7 on a kicker, you wouldn't think anything of it.
Right.
So trading one to get a kicker is very logical.
I think, though, so with the Jets having these kicker issues where Chandler Catanzaro might lose his job. By the way, Chris Blewett is working out, is part of the Jets tryout, according to Manish Mehta, old friend there. But if other teams start needing a kicker, the Ravens are just going to be sitting there like, we got this guy. He's really good. Mm-hmm. What are you going to offer? And, you know, if they can drive the price up, at some point, if you're the Bears, would you trade a 4th rounder for this guy?
That's getting pricey.
Yeah. I think a 6 or 7, maybe. Hey, maybe you flip that pick you got from the Eagles for Jordan Howard, where it's conditional.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Maybe you could flip that. I think you'd be okay with that, where it could be as high as a 5. Probably more likely it's going to be a 6. I think you'd probably be okay trading that. Anything beyond that, where you're trading a definite 5, that...
Yeah, those are guys...
You found Bilal Nichols in the 5th round. You found Adrian Amos in the 5th round. Can you... Do you really need to use that on finding a kicker?
Yeah, and I mean, if history is any indicator, I mean, they got Paul Ettinger in the 6th round,
right?
As a punter, Pat O'Donnell in the 6th round,
right?
I think that's about what it should command, and whether or not they can squeeze the Ravens or whomever, maybe
right.
Carolina squeezes the Bears for a 5, I would be surprised with that.
The good news is that it's not right now; it's not a scarce market because you've got Vedvik. Indianapolis is Cole Hedlund. The Bears will get a look at him in week 3 of the preseason, where, you know, Hedlund's obviously not beating out Adam Vinatieri. So the Bears will have some options. It's not like the Ravens are holding on to the only chip in the market.
Mm-hmm.
But they do have a pretty good chip because he was really good last preseason. He's made some long kicks. He's a guy who the Ravens held onto their roster, even though he, you know, got a head injury in this incident last Labor Day weekend. They held on to him thinking, we still can trade this guy.
Mm-hmm.
So they know they have something there. They obviously don't need him because they have Justin Tucker. But that's going to be one to watch. The expectation around the leagues, you know, and at least in some corners of the fan base, seems to be that the Bears are going to get Vedvik. But we'll see, because if the Ravens are thinking they can get a 4 for him, the Bears should not pay that.
No, here's the thing: it's what happens after they get the guy will be interesting to see, because they clearly made a mistake not riding through Robbie Gould's. These guys have dips.
Right.
You think of the greats, the Jason Hansons, all these guys. The guys are Vinatieri.
Yeah.
If you look back, they all had a year like Robbie did.
Yeah.
You've just gonna. So when they find him, you hope that they won't be knee jerking to this guy every other week or every time the guy has an off week. They're bringing 5 or 6 guys in.
Mm-hmm.
That just doesn't work, and it hasn't worked around the league. So you hope that there's a steady hand on the wheel with this thing.
That being said, if you did trade a 4th round draft pick for Vedvik and he makes a kick in the playoffs that gets you to the Super Bowl or something like that,
bargain.
Well, Cubs fans are living with Gleyber Torres hitting a billion home runs for the New York Yankees, but they got Aroldis Chapman and they won a World Series, so that's fine.
Was Kevin Butler a 4? I mean, I think one of
that was before I was born, Moon.
Okay. let's run with that one. anyways. Yeah, they're precious. That's back when they were 12 or whatever number.
Right,
number.
Yeah. Anyway, so. When Richard Dent could be, what, an 8th round, 9th round pick?
Yep.
Those don't exist anymore. Those are undrafted free agents.
But anyway.
Anyways, we're going to get out of here on the Under Center podcast. If you're liking these training camp dailies, be sure to give us a 5-star review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, wherever you get your podcasts. Leave us a review. We really appreciate seeing those.
Yep.
Again, if you're a fan that was down here, thank you for coming up, saying hi. Thanks for listening to the podcast. We really do appreciate it. And we got one more of these left, Moon.
Yep.
One more training camp practice tomorrow. I think it's going to be a short 10-10-10 day. Down here, no fans will be allowed in, but then the Bears will go back to Halas Hall
next week. I'm not sure. I'm kind of forgetting how much of practice will we be able to watch at that point.
I think the preseason practices we get to watch. We can't. It's the same rules as closed practices. We can't report on what we see in the practices, as like we can when it's open to fans. So
we'll try to bring folks what we can see.
Yes.
Yeah.
and plenty more coming on our site as well over the next couple days, because we've got plenty to cover with this team. Mm-hmm. We'll have another Under Center podcast for you on Sunday. We'll then get back into a rhythm at House Hall. Still TBD on when we'll do those, but we'll have plenty more coming to you here on the podcast in the coming weeks. Anyways, thanks for listening, everyone, and we'll talk to you next time here on the Under Center podcast.